give way to victory. I'll see the lights of glory, and I know He lives because He lives. I can face tomorrow because He lives. All fear is gone because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives.
Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 12. Though a sinner does evil 100 times, and his days are prolonged, yet I surely know it will be well with those who fear God, who fear before Him. Amen. Let me see. Good morning. Good morning. Whether you're a member of this Franklin family, whether you're a virtual guest, a visitor, or just passing by, I'm grateful that God has granted us another day to come together and worship Him, for that opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth, and fellowship and praise, understanding that His presence means more to us than we can ever imagine. Shortly, I want my Bible to the book of Psalms, chapter 73, Psalm 73, and we're going to park right there. My invitation is you join me there, as these verses will serve as the context for today's lesson, shrinking faith, Psalm 73. Shrinking faith. You know, back in the 1700s, was a family by the name of the great Willendas. And there was a circus act that they performed all the time that went from generation to generation. The act was legendary in that it was a 7-person pyramid that was suspended from a high wire. The trick involved building a human pyramid several stories above the ground. 4 men stood on a wire, they balancing their poles in hand. And on their shoulders, 2 more performers climbed up and balanced themselves as well. At the very top, 1 person perched above that pyramid, and it completed the whole cycle. The entire formation, once it was completed, made their way across the wire. And sometimes it was 35 feet or more above the ground, and there was no safety net at all. It required absolute trust. It required absolute precision. It required absolute strength. And it stunned the crowds because it was a signature stunt that they'd done. But it was January 30th, 1962, that disaster struck. They're performing at the State Fair in Detroit, and the 7-person pyramid was slowly making its way across the wire. And one of the men at the bottom level, he began to tremble. And what he said, "I can't hold on any longer. I can't hold on any longer." And when he said those words, the pyramid collapsed and 2 of the men fell to their death. Another was paralyzed for the rest of his life. I can't hold on any longer. Those words sometimes are all too familiar to God's people. And as we enter 2026, my theme is that I want to strengthen your heart, sharpen your vision as we move forward in this year serving God. I can't hold on any longer. There are Christians who feel like their grip on faith is just slipping away, and they wonder how much longer they can hold on. Psalm 73 tells the story of a man of God who felt exactly the same way. There's nothing new under the sun. The psalm deals with a particular question, and, And sooner or later, I think every one of us are going to face this question. The question is, why do bad things happen to good people? You see, the problem with that is it's not just in theory. It's a personal question as well. We've all seen suffering in this world. 9-1-1, Hurricane Katrina, natural disasters and fires all over the place. We've also felt it close to home. We've had family and friends, and some of us ourselves have battled cancer. We've had loved ones pass away far, far too soon. And we've had struggles in our own lives, even today, that just leave us just brokenhearted. We all know firsthand what it's like to suffer pain and heartache. And chances are, you sometimes find yourself wondering, where is God? You find yourself wondering sometimes, is our God really alive? Wondering why life is just so difficult for you, especially for someone like you who's trying to do what's right. And we wonder, where was God when Rome was exterminating Christians? Where was God when the Holocaust was set out? Where was God in women's suffrage and racial inequality? Where was God when terrorists was holding innocent people hostage and flying airplanes in the skyscrapers? Where is God? Where is God on this day? Where is God when evil seems to triumph? We have an evil axis that's spreading across this land, and it seems to be getting stronger and stronger every day. And this struggle that we have between our faith and what we see in the world has caused a lot of people to give up on their faith in God. What we see with our eyes in this world have caused a lot of people to give up on their faith in God. And it's not the first time that it ever happened. It's the same question that troubled a man by the name of Asaph. Asaph was a Levite and one of the leaders of the temple. He worshiped in the days of King David. He wrote 12 of the Psalms, including Psalm 73. And this psalm, he pours out his own heart to God about his struggle with this very issue. Why do the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer? He starts out in verse number 1 and says, truly God is good to Israel. We're going to unpack 73 for you this morning, so just track with me. Truly God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. And Asaph knew full well that, because that's what he had been taught growing up, that God was especially good to those who were pure in heart. And so we can see in the book of Job, the Jews assumed that God always rewarded the just and punished those who were wicked. They thought Job was being punished because he was wicked. Asaph knew full well who God was. But there was a problem. It was a problem because of what he saw with his own eyes when he looked around this world. And when he looked around this world with his own eyes, he didn't seem to support the conclusion that God indeed blesses those that are righteous. So he continues in verse number 2 and 3. He says, but as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping and I was almost gone, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. He says, I know that God is supposed to bless those who do good and punish those who do wrong. But I think sometimes we get a little bit twisted, because if God is supposed to bless those who do good and punish those who do wrong, who is good? Paul asked the question in Romans 3:12. He says, there's not one good, no, not one. But we want to know, why do the good always get the short end of the stick and the wicked seem to prosper? Who's good among us? So he says, why do I see so many wicked people prospering? What he says is something that I'm sure you've heard many times, especially if you're a parent, because kids always say, it's just not fair. It's not fair. And because of what he saw with his eyes, Asaph struggled with his faith. It's the same thing that you and I do on a day-to-day basis. We look with these eyes, and we struggle with our faith, he says, actually, I'm starting to envy the wicked. I'm starting to envy the world because it seems like they have everything going for them. He says in verse number 4 and 5, they seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have troubles like other people. He said, they're not plagued with problems like everyone else. And what disturbed Asaph so much about all this, again, is that he was thinking this. If God is around and he sees all of this, how can men get away with it? If God is present, how can men get away with this? They're mocking God, and yet they still have good things happen to them all the time. Verses 8 through 12, Asaph says, they scoff and speak only evil. In their pride, they seek to crush others. They boast against their very heavens, and their words strut throughout the earth. And so the people are dismayed and confused, drinking in all their words. What does God know? They ask. What does God know? Does the Most High even know what's happening? Look at those wicked people. They enjoy a life of ease while their riches multiply. Right? We've all been, right? We've all thought that. We've all seen that, right? You notice that some of your friends have little or no regard for God at all, but they still seem to cruise through life with no problems, right? They like to brag about their expensive toys and their insistence on doing whatever they want to do. Meanwhile, you're doing all you can do just to pay for childcare and the basic family needs. And you are a servant of God. Life is a constant struggle for you. You wonder why your child got sick and this person. You wonder why you had to have the disease and this person. Or maybe you're trying to represent Christ in the workplace. And you're ever conscious of the example in front of your coworkers, but you keep getting passed over for a promotion. And the one who's getting the promotion, they cut corners all the time. They don't work very hard. As a matter of fact, they steal time from the clock. And these situations are bothersome, and they lead to confusion sometimes. They lead to confused feelings of jealousy, and sometimes you're even discouraged, because the question is, where is our God amongst all of this evil? Where's God? It's a reasonable question. If God is all-powerful, he does indeed oversee the affairs of this earth, then why do the wicked seem to prosper? You ever asked that question? Anybody? You ever? Sure you have. And why don't they seem to be plagued by all the troubles that the rest of us seem to face in our lives day in and day out? Why do I have to face this? Why did I break my leg and you didn't break? What? You know, as Christians, we find ourselves sometimes facing things that we just shouldn't face, saying things that we just shouldn't say, living lives that we just shouldn't live, and we question God. But there was an old farmer who once said, if God dealt with people today as he did in the days of Ananias and Sapphira, every church would need a morgue in the basement. Every one of them. And my question is, if Ananias and Sapphira couldn't get the Lord to overlook one single act of hypocrisy, how come people today can lie and not die? How can they cheat and not lie? How can they steal and deceive and not die? How can they do those things and carry on their lives as if it were business as usual? I'll tell you why. Because God is a patient God, and he's patient with them as well as patient with us. He's gracious to us as well. How can people decide that an immoral lifestyle is acceptable? And then they practice that immoral lifestyle without suffering a similar judgment like Sodom and Gomorrah. They seem to live on in their evil. How can you be guilty of murder or rape and you're going to walk out the courtroom scot-free because of minor technicality? How can that happen? There are times it just bothers me. It just bothers me. And times that I'm a little confused. I mean, what kind of answer do you give a Christian wife who's faithful? She's faithful in everything. She does everything possible to make her marriage work. What kind of answer do you give her when her husband doesn't embrace the relationship with a reciprocal effort of love as well? What do you tell her? What do you tell a husband when his wife is confused and she can't take care of the children and he has to take care of the children? Because that's not how it ought to be, right? What do you tell? The wife asked the question because she's just at her wit's end. Why does God let my husband get away with this? Why does he do that? David said, David got tired of some things as well. He said in Psalm 119, 126, he said, you know what I think? This is what I think. It's time for you to act, God. It's time for you to act because they have regarded your law as void. I think that you ought to do something right now, God, because I can't hold on. Anybody at that point in your life right now? You get to the point in your life where it's constantly over and over and over again. We're looking with these eyes at things that don't seem to be right. David says, I need you to do something. Because right now, I just can't hold on. I just can't do it. And that's how Asaph felt. And then he describes to us his reaction to all of this. And it's a very understandable reaction in verses 13 and 14. He says, listen, am I serving God for nothing? Did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all day long. Oh, every time I turn around, I get trouble all day long, he said. Every morning brings me pain. Amen? You ever felt like that? You ever said to yourself, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to serve God, and all I've gotten in return are problems. I've got one problem after another, one problem after another, day to day to day. I can't hold on any longer. So what good is it? What good does it do to be good? Let me show you that there's a lot of us in here that's felt that way, and you're not alone. Let me tell you how ridiculous things get in this world. There was a man who came upon an automobile accident. It was in the news. He came upon an automobile accident, and two women were stuck inside their cars. One of them was pregnant, and he pulled the woman that was pregnant to safety first. 10 seconds after pulling her out, the car exploded and burst into flames. The other woman, who was still left in the car, she survived, but she sued the man because he didn't pull her out first. I mean, I don't know how it all turned out, but you know, we live in a litigious society, and to me that just seems just real bad. It's a bad thing. She wasn't grateful for her life. Pull me out first. I gotta be first in all things. Asaph says, I know that God is good. And we said it all the time in our lives with that little cliche we have all the time. God is good all the time God is good. But do you believe that? Do you live that? Or do you constantly doubt God and what he is doing in your life? In the life of others, because we don't get to decide. Oh yeah, God is good. I can't make my rent. Listen, he says, I know that God is good, but I've seen the prosperity of the wicked, and it leaves me wondering if maybe I shouldn't even bother to try to do what's right. People walk away from the church because their faith has been shrunken down to nothing, because they're looking with these physical eyes at things they shouldn't be looking at. They're looking at the world. Looking at the world. In fact, Asaph finds himself one step away from that old idea that we say, well, if you can't beat them, join them, right? And we say the same things because we haven't grown in our faith in God. We say the same things and we drift away. But Asaph wasn't fully convinced of that. No, he wasn't. Look at verse number 15. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. He says that, you know what, if I had expressed his doubts out loud, then I might have destroyed the faith of others. Here's the heart of the matter, verses 16 through 17. He says, so I tried to understand why the wicked prosper. But what a difficult task it is. He says, then I went to the sanctuary of God, and I finally understood the destiny of the wicked. He says, I got away from myself and what I was thinking. I got away from my own opinion, who I thought I was, and I went into the sanctuary of God, and I understood the destiny of the wicked. What he does here is what we all ought to do when we in doubt, is work our way back to faith. We got to come back to God. He says, the whole situation, it bothered me until I entered the sanctuary of God. When I was able to come before God and see God as he really is and take my focus off the world, only then did the matter become clear to me when God says, love not the world nor the things. Only then when I got outside of myself and I came into the sanctuary of God, when I came into the presence of God, was I able to see that it was not about me. Let me tell you why. Tell you what we do. Just like Asaph, we have false expectations of God. And our faith becomes shaken when God does not meet our expectations. We make the mistake all the time. We expect God to do something because we think. It's what we think. Oh, if I was God, this is what I would do. Oh, hey, but look, what you doing, God? How were you? Oh, yeah, I'd take care of it. But I want to remind you that we are not God. And we have no right to tell God how to be God. We don't even know how to be who we are. We have mixed identities. We have relationships that's on the lamb because we can't even find ourselves. We run away from each other because we don't even know who we are. Yet we're trying to tell God how we're going to fix it. His biggest problem was he expected God to do what he would do if he were God. Think about that. Well, I don't think my mama handled that right. I mean, if I was my mama, this is what I'd do. Right? Our parents don't always get things right, but God does. Amen. Am I right? Amen. We don't always get things right, but God does. He gets them right every time, and we have no right to tell God how to be God. But you know what I like what Asaph says? Because that's me. I'm going to tell you, I got to be honest with you. Look what Asaph says. He said, you know, if I were God, I would punish the wicked right here and right now. Well, I'd put it on him right now, Bert. Bam! And so Asaph, he saw the wicked prospering. When he saw the wicked prospering and his faith was almost gone, look what he said to himself. He said, well, God ain't doing his job because he's not doing it the way I think it ought to be. Not doing it the way I see it. He's not doing it the way it ought to be done. But then he realized that God doesn't always act right here and right now. But God's righteousness will be vindicated and the wicked will one day face the wrath of God. Verses 18 through 22, listen to what it says. Truly, God, you put them on a slippery path and send them sliding over the cliff to destruction. In an instant, they are destroyed, completely swept away by terrors. When you rise, O Lord, you will laugh at their silly ideas as a person laughs at dreams in the morning. Then I realize that my heart was bitter. Asaph says, I realized that my heart was bitter. Looking at the world will cause bitterness. And I was torn up all inside. The world will rip you apart. I was foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. I'll tell you something, the world is out there waiting for you. And they will tear you apart. It will make your heart bitter towards God and towards each other. You become foolish and ignorant, and you will die that way unless you come back to God. What we need to do is just simply trust in the fact that God knows what he's doing. Do you believe in God? If you believe in God, we say it all the time, is it just superficial? Do you believe in God? If you believe in God, just trust that God knows what he is doing. Stop looking at the world and trying to judge God on what you think it ought to be, or what you ought to have or not have, or why your child got sick and this one didn't get sick and they was in the same house, or why they got the job qualified as you were qualified, or whatever else you can conjure up. Verses 23 through 28 says this. Asaph redeemed himself. He says, you know what? I still belong to God. I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Can you say that? Let me read that one again. My health might fail, my spirit might grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. Those who desert him will perish, for you destroy those who abandon you. But as for me, oh, this is it here. Oh, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things that you do. You know, in the end, Asaph realized that more important than having lots of stuff, than having the world, was having God himself. Because he realized that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And so he says, I desire you more than anything else on earth. Instead of envying the wicked who seem to prosper, what he does now, when his faith has been built up, is rejoice in the fact that he has a relationship with God. And he ends it. He concludes it by saying, the greatest blessing in the world is to be close to God. And that's what he wanted more than anything else, to continually strengthen his faith, to continually strengthen his heart, to continually sharpen his vision. Listen, at one time or another, we all come to believe that life just isn't fair. And the reason we feel that way, listen to me, I'm gonna give it to you real quick and easy, is because life isn't fair. That's the reason. We believe that because it isn't fair. And all of our wondering about it and our question of such thing is wrong. It's not wrong at all. In fact, we all do it. But remember that Asaph struggled when he had false expectations of God. And he was able to resolve his struggle only when he was able to see God for who he truly was. He was looking through the eyes of faith. He wasn't looking through these carnal eyes, these physical eyes at the world and what they do. His focus was on God. His vision was on God. His heart was on God. He entered the sanctuary of God. He entered right into God's presence. And he began to look at things from an eternal perspective. How are you doing with that? How are you doing with that? We're looking at everything that the world is it has to offer us, and we want it until we get it, right? Story of a bull who had a beautiful fence yard, green grass everywhere, being tended to by his farmer like nobody's business. He had the life of Riley, so to speak. Looked across the fence and saw two other cows over there, right? And how good a relationship they were having, and boy, he just wanted that. He envied it so bad. So every day he would practice. He would run towards the fence, and he would run back. Run towards the fence and run back. One day he saw that one of the cows was still by themselves because another one had died. He says, I got to get over there now. I need that relationship. I need that friendship. So he draws back and he comes and he clears the fence. And as he's clearing the fence, the barbed wire splits him right down his belly. And he gets on the other side and realizes it's another bull. Why are we envy? We're looking with these eyes and we can't see the things that God has for us. But once we come into the presence of God and look with the eyes of faith, oh, we can actually see eternity just come into view. He entered the sanctuary of God. He entered God's presence. And what he did, he was able to walk with God in complete confidence. And that's what I'm calling you to do today, church. Walk with God in complete confidence. I would suggest that until we enter the sanctuary of God, life will never make any sense to us at all. It just won't. It's only when we see things from an eternal point of view that all the pieces are beginning to fall together. Yeah, we live a life that's in pieces right now. We do. Our faith sometimes becomes shattered, becomes weak. Our faith sometimes starts to shrink. When we walk with God, the pieces just, they begin to fall into place. Once we see God as all-powerful and all-ruling from his throne and in control of everything in his own timetable, not ours, we won't even rush God into what we want or what we want him to do. You got 15 minutes, God. You know, you got about 10 minutes left. Let's get this done. Our faith will not be unmoved when we see God for who he is and we truly come into his presence with thanksgiving. So if the cry of our heart is, I just can't hold on any longer, and I know some of you can't. I realize life is real. It's literal. Some people can't hold on any longer, right? People deal with mental health. You deal with physical issues, financial issues. People deal with relationship issues, and they can't hang on any longer. I understand that. I'm going to validate that. But I urge you to come to the sanctuary of God and draw close to God and view life from the perspective of faith, where you'll find strength and courage you need to finish what you started. Because the greatest blessing in this world is being close to God. And my prayer is that you will desire that more than anything else. Being closer to God than you are to your mate, to your friend, to your parents. Here's what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10:30-39. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Romans 14:23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. But whatever is not from faith is sin. Whatever is not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11:6. We all know it. Faith is the substance of things what? Stop looking with your physical eyes. Stop looking with your faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But without faith, verse number 6, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first of all believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently. Yeah. So how you doing with that this morning? How's your faith? And how do you measure it? There's a lot of things in this life you're not going to have. And thank God he's not going to give them to you, because it won't do you any good. You want a lot of money? Sometimes people gifted a lot of money and they die as a result of getting all that money because they don't know what to do with it. It'd be better if they never had a quarter. God is good. And he is good all the time. And Romans 3 says, not one of us are good. Especially not good enough to tell God how to be God. So let's all come into the presence of God and appreciate his grace and his love and his mercy, his compassion and his patience for each and every one of us. And understand how he calls us to the gospel of salvation. For there's no other name, Acts 4:12, under heaven, given to men, by which we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ, God's Son and our Savior. He calls you to that salvation by hearing his word and believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of true and living God. That you might confess your sins and repent of those sins as well, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. For we all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For those of us that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Amen. We've all had moments in our lives where we've doubted. We've doubted God. We've doubted ourselves. We've doubted the people that we're in relationship with. But never you mind. God is on his throne. Just come into his presence and view life from a different perspective. View life from an eternal perspective, because that's where we're going. We're going to heaven. Amen. Amen. The gospel is yours this morning. There's someone out there that we can help to receive the gospel. Why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
My Savior comes to me. earth and to the humble go. Why did he choose a lowly birth?
Whether you want to come and receive the gospel of Christ, we allow your life to be saved, take your sight off the world, and allow your vision to be sharpened in Christ. Will you come?
He loved me so. He loved, he loved me so. He gave.
Good morning, church. Outstanding message, strengthening faith. I'm Brother Cook, and I have the response cards of the day. I have Brother Alex and Austin Banks, general prayer requests. We ask for prayers for our family. Christina White, Traveling Grace, Chuck, matched into fellowship at University of Cincinnati, Ohio for sports medicine. Stephanie Sellers, health related, requesting prayers. I have been diagnosed with a brain tumor. Pray for her. Liz Jenkins, please keep me in prayer, for I will be having surgery on this Tuesday, and I am concerned about the procedures. I also request prayers for my family during this time. She said, thank you. Brother Ricky Braggs, health related, Traveling Grace. Say good morning. Requesting prayer for Traveling Grace for our son Marcus and Zora as they travel back to Charleston, South Carolina, and prayers for Sister Alma as she is under the weather. He said, thank you. Aaron Clark, Traveling Grace. Please pray for Erin. She is traveling today. Say thank you. Valil Reed, general prayer request, Traveling Grace. Say good morning, church. Asking for prayers as I travel to attend my friend's mother's funeral this week. Pray for all students back at university this semester. Pray for school students and teachers returning as they complete this calendar year. She said, thank you. Barbara Anderson, bereavement, spiritual strength. Say, good morning, church family. I would like to thank all of you for praying for my family members. My dear cousin, Jonah Walker, who lived in Columbus, Ohio, passed on Monday. Please keep the Walker family in your prayers for comfort and strength. God bless all of you. She said, thank you. Jonathan Hicks, health related. This is coming from the newlyweds, brother and sister Araya. Say thanks. Thanksgiving. The Lord present is so strong here. I want to lift up the whole congregation and thank God for their unselfishness. From help for the wedding and wholesome relationship, fellowship of the on Friday night. We are blessed the Lord brought us here. I'm having I haven't felt joy like this in a long time. He said, thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, thanking you first of all. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who done put up cause this morning, O Heavenly Father. Thanking you, O Heavenly Father, for so many things that is gone in their lives. Praying for the ones who are on their sick beds, beds of affliction, going to procedures throughout their lives, O Heavenly Father. Praying, O Heavenly Father, that you be with them, strengthen them, and be with them throughout the procedure that they're going through. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who are grieving this morning, O Heavenly Father, for the loss of a loved one. Praying, O Heavenly Father, Lord, be there with them. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who asking for traveling grace, traveling near and far, O Heavenly Father. Please, Lord, be that protection around them. Lord, open the eyes of the ones who don't know you and the pardon of their sins, O Heavenly Father, before it's everlasting too late. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who ask for prayers for their families. Lord, give them strength and let them be by their sides through everything that they go through, O Heavenly Father. Strengthen their household, strengthen their faith. Strengthen everything that they say and they do. Lord, praying, O Heavenly Father, that you help us, Lord, to make it more about you than making it more about ourselves. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there, he'll intercede for you. Lift up your voice, leave with him your care, and begin a life anew. Kneel at the cross, kneel at the cross. Leave every care, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there.
Church, we come to another portion of our worship service. It's communion with the saints. I'll be reading from Matthew 26, 26 through 30. And it reads, and as they was eating, Jesus took bread and broke it and blessed it and gave it to the disciple and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many in the remission of sin. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, bless this bread, bless the cup that represent the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the blood that was shed on that old rugged cross for all of our sins. Let us eat of this bread and drink of this cup until our Lord and Jesus return. Let us eat. Now we come to another portion of giving back to what God has prospered us with this week. I'll be reading from Corinthians 16:1-2. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the church of Galatians, even so do ye, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when he come. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come thanking you, Lord, giving us the opportunity to give back what you have blessed us with. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who have gave this morning. Praying for the ones who didn't have this morning to give. Lord, be with them. Strengthen them, Lord. Give us all a zeal to be more like you. Open our hearts and open our minds that we could see you in a better light. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for the ones who will be managing this money, O Heavenly Father, open their hearts to you. Praying, O Heavenly Father, for so many things that you have done throughout this day, we want to say thank you. These things we ask in Jesus' name we pray, amen. For the ones who want to give, we have a box up here to my left, so after service you can pass and give, or when you come in during the morning, you could come and give early if you want to. Thank you.
Well, good morning. What a wonderful day it is for us. It's a little chilly, but I'm good with that because it's got to be chilly. I'd much rather be over with. I'm not the cold man. I know some folks like cold. I'm not the cold man, but thank God for just being here and living in his presence among the saints of God here at 431 Franklin Street. I don't have any visitors, of course. If there's any visitors here besides Brother Ash, but really ain't no visitor, him and his wife. We're happy to have you here with us, Brother Ash. Been a long time. Happy New Year. Happy to have him with us as well. I'm looking around. I don't see any more visitors at all. I want to say that it's kind of bittersweet that Brother Agusebe has matched in a place away from here, but you know, God knows what he's doing, and we love him, and we're going to embrace him as long as we can, as long as he's here with us. Thank you for that. Love you back, my brother. I want to talk about a lady who has had two name changes since the 26th of November. Her name is Rania. Her name used to be Rania Kanoyan, but now her name is Rania Araya. She was married to James Araya. And her name changed on the 26th of November because she was married to Christ, and her name became Christian. And I want to present her this morning with a certificate of baptism and a Bible. Now, you come on up here. James ain't got to come. This ain't for James. This is for you. Congratulations, sister. Love you. Sister Rania Araya. And also, as of last week, we baptized Derek Smith. Brother Derek Smith, he's not with us, but he's the son of Sister Smith, sitting right over there to my left. And what a glorious time we had as well with him in Christ. So let's continue to grow. Let's continue to know that God continues to bless our lives, that we continue to do his mission and be partners in the gospel of Jesus Christ. May you all have a good, wonderful week, and may your team win. Thank you.
Let's all be standing as we come to the close of our service this morning. We'll sing Hallelujah by and by. When we reach that city of the New Jerusalem, we'll sing and sing hallelujah by and by. How the ransomed singers will together lift that hymn. We'll sing hallelujah by and by.
Oh, what joy when we get home, we'll sing. Rest beneath that cloudless dome in heaven, in that land where saints never die. Sing hallelujah, by and by.
Father God, we thank you for the hearts of those that have listened in virtually. We thank you for the hearts that have stood patiently and waiting patiently for the word of God this day to come up on their lives. Continue to bless us collectively as we continue to gather here at Franklin Street, Father God, to lift thy holy and divine name. Father God, we pray for the new converts that have recently been baptized into the body, Father God. We ask that you continue to let their feet be lamps and lights to their travel. Not only them, Father God, but those that are within. Be with the marriage couple, Father God, as they embrace the love that they share for one another. That you bless their household continuously as they continue their journey. For those that are seasoned, Father God, we ask that you continue to bless their homes. Father God, we just ask that as we continue to move this new year into the path of righteousness for your name's sake, Father God, we ask that all things that we do, say, and do will be according to thy will, and that your servants will not be out there bad, doing things that is not necessary to be done. Father God, we just ask that you continue to bless this relationship that we have in your son, Jesus Christ. Forgive us when we fail you. As we go into the first of the day, bless this day and bless this week. In Jesus' name, amen.